Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, we ask now simply that you would send forth your word in power. Change us, Lord, in a way that's pleasing to you. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us to walk with you as we press on toward higher ground. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is in the second half of Matthew 6. It looks like we're now setting off on a new direction. We've been in the first half of the chapter for some time, and now it seems that having now finished this discourse on not doing your acts of righteousness to be seen by men, okay, you should be mindful of God only when you're praying, giving, fasting. Jesus now, it's like turns the page and off on a new direction. And the verses we've just read, 19 to 24, it looks like three little short, matter of fact, if you have a Bible like mine, it's got little section headers. It's got three of them right in that little section that maybe your pew Bible doesn't have that, but three little short sayings or like nuggets of wisdom that kind of hop around from thought to thought. There's treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. There's the eye and the light of the body, whatever that means. And you can't serve two masters, okay? And it's like three little snapshots before the next section, which is longer and more coherent, that starts in 25. And one of the reasons it does seem that way, seems disconnected, is because of the middle one, the eye is the lamp of the body. To us, that's a very strange turn of phrase, and the body being full of light, kind of hard to gather what that means. It seems to have something to do with spiritual knowledge and wisdom. Just seems like a separate topic from what comes before and after. In fact, though, as we'll see, there is a natural flow of thought between all of these little segments, and it also connects the whole second half of this chapter to the first half, what we have just been talking about for a couple of weeks. Okay, remember, what is to be your motive for not letting your left hand know how your right hand is given? What's your motive supposed to be for giving in secret, praying in secret, and fasting in secret? It's that your Father may reward you. It's that your Father may reward you. Okay? You want God to say to you, well done, don't you? Don't you? Yes. You want God to say to you, enter into the joy of your Lord. You want him to say, you have been faithful in a few things, and now I will set you over many things. Okay, don't you want your father, to say that to you? Okay, so you can either do your religion, giving to philanthropies and praying and so on. You can do that to earn men's appreciation and advance in the community, and you can acquire the perks that our society does offer. For those, okay, promotions and a higher standard of living and cushy retirement and power, okay, this world has those things to offer you, and they're available and they're enjoyable too. But Jesus has been telling us, okay, in the last three sections of Matthew 6, that when it comes time to meet the Almighty God, there's not going to be anything further. Okay, you will already have gotten what you wanted to get. You will have gotten what you invested in. So you can either do that, or you can make it your aim to please your Father first and only, and disregard whatever else happens. And before we leave that in the rearview mirror, just remember that principle of pleasing the Father first, okay, that doesn't apply only to the things of religion, so to speak, you know, prayer, alms, and fasting. It applies to the mundane things of our life as well, like how you do your job, how you do your chores around the house. Okay, you younger folks, it's pleasing your heavenly Father's the main thing. Okay, living constantly, knowing that His eye is always upon you, it changes things. Okay, it changes everything. And the Scripture tells us everything you do, do it heartily as though you're doing it for your Father, right? Doing it for the Lord and not just for the person, not just for the boss or for your mom or your husband or whoever it is, okay? Not only to win a person's favor when their eye is on you, okay, but as serving Christ. And I think we've all been through this. I'm sure it's not just me that, you know, when the boss, oh, hurry up, boss is coming, you know, quick, look busy, okay? You know, mom is coming, and if she sees that this isn't done, she's, all right? The Christian knows that diligence pleases the Lord, and that's enough, okay? The Lord is the ultimate giver of rewards and withholder of rewards, and that if we make it a priority to please our Father first, that pays off, okay? If you work hard only when people are watching, but you're lazing around daydreaming when they're not, okay, just you remember, your Father sees in secret. Okay, so serve wholeheartedly. That means give your boss, give your mother, give your husband, whoever it is, your best effort. Do your best work, not just the bare minimum, okay, as though you were serving the Lord, because in fact that is what you're doing, okay, and you know that He will reward, okay, there's our key word, you will reward each one for whatever good they do, and there's no favorites with Him, okay? For the Christian, there's no division between the mundane and the religious. It's all religious, so to speak, okay? Even if that means you're just sweeping the floor after work, even if that means you're cutting somebody's grass, even if that means you're cleaning the bathroom, okay, your Father sees when nobody else does. So, you know, Jesus has been giving us these instructions to show us the kind of conduct or the motive behind the conduct that the Father is going to reward when the time comes. Okay, so that's, if you want to scan back over Matthew 6, it was in verse 4, it was in verse 6, and verse 18, okay, your Father who sees in secret will reward you, okay, maybe you don't want to say it earns a reward, you know, and just don't want to split hairs about words, but, you know, it's all from the Father's good grace, right? It doesn't earn a reward, because just to obey Him completely, to 100% obey and do the Father's will all the time, that's, you know, that's our duty anyway, because He made us and gives us everything. Okay, we owe Him our lives. All of us fall short. So technically speaking, we can't do anything to earn a reward. But that being said, He loves to bless, and He plans to reward, okay, according to what each person has done, He says. So how do you go about obtaining this reward? So what we have today, starting in 19, this thought in 19 to 21, it's just a natural continuation of that thought. These rewards from the Father, from the Almighty, ought to be the chief desire of our life. Okay, and all of our efforts in the home, all of our efforts at work, all of our good deeds ought to be bent on receiving the Father's commendation on that day. So once again, we come down to this very basic truth that life is about choices. Okay? Life is about choices. You have, at your age, and you will make a choice about your loyalties. Okay? And you make it many times a day. You have a choice to make, and you will make it, as to the outlook with which you approach your own life. And you have a choice to make about the kinds of things that are going to bring you satisfaction. Okay, you choose those. You have a choice to make about what things you think make a person great, and then to want to be a person such as that. You know, what makes a man great? Is it a self-made man? Is it a wealthy man? Is it a man with multiple degrees? Is it a man with lots of friends? Is it a man with a high-profile job? What is it in your mind? Okay, or for a woman, you know, is it to be a beautiful woman, a sexy woman, a career woman? Is it to be, you know, the go-getter, record breaker, high achiever? Is it to be the matriarch of the family that everybody, you know, bows and scrapes to? What is it? Okay, those are choices. Choices that you can make consciously. This is what I want out of life. This is what I'm going to pursue. And, you know, some of them may have been ingrained in you since you were little. Maybe you're not even aware that it's been a choice. You know, your mother was this way or your father was this way, and you just kind of inherited that from him, or he drove it into you as you were growing up. Okay, you still have to take hold of yourself and think, what are my priorities? Okay, what am I spending my energies on? What am I carrying around with me day after day as far as my life goals? Okay, and you've made choices, and it's possible you need to make a new choice. You have a choice to make as to what you're going to trust in. Okay, which basket are you going to put all your eggs in? Okay, so it requires that we ask ourselves some questions. You know, what do I see as necessary for me to be happy in the long term? Is it my pension? Because I'm really, you know, am I trusting in that? Is it my title at work? Is it my children? Okay, is it that they'll be there for me when I'm old? Is it my vacations and weekends? Is it a woman's affection? What is it? What is that indispensable thing? Is it a lovely home and garden? Is it to be number one in sales? You know, whatever it is. Okay, these are the things that I would really like to have in place in my life. Okay, you choose those. And so Jesus is telling you here in these verses, starting 19, he's telling us what are the right things to choose. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where there are no thieves to break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, and of course, the heart is the heart of the matter, isn't it? Okay, this is that whole matter of what we call worldliness. Worldliness. When we say that something or somebody is worldly, what do we mean? It boils down to this simple truth that everybody knows, that nothing lasts forever and that you can't take it with you. Okay? Everybody knows this. However, we all spend so much effort and worry over having these things and enjoying these pleasures and privileges that we know, if we give it an instant thought, we know they're limited by time. Okay? Every movie you see, all the musicians you like, all of the TV shows and so on, someday they will all be long forgotten. Okay? The toys that you play with, the gadgets and the pastimes that you spend your money on, okay, that they either break or they wear out or they get boring. Okay? Someday, ladies and gentlemen, you will take your last vacation. Someday you will have your last ice cream cone. Someday you will pet your pet for the last time. Understand? Your beauty that is so important to you when you are young fades away, and you know how many dollars go into pretending that it doesn't and maintaining the illusion that it hasn't. Okay? The Lord tells us it's all subject to moth and rust. Moth and rust. Okay? You got a $200 dress? Well, now you got a $200 hole in your dress. Okay? The word for rust there, it means not just rust as we know it, iron oxide, okay? It also means any kind of eating away. It means an eating away. So that could be corrosion or tarnish, mildew, termites, mice in the corn bin, cancer. Eats away. It eats away. You know that if you own a house or a computer or a car or whatever it is, it's a constant battle against decay. It's constant upkeep, isn't it? Okay? That's life. And sometimes it's thieves, even if the thing didn't break. You know, anything that a person could break into your house and carry away, or knock you down and carry it away, might not even be yours at this time tomorrow. Okay? And if I could expand the meaning of thief a little bit, death is a thief, isn't it? Death is a robber. There might be a person upon you whom you have set all of your affection and all of your hopes and all of your goals and all of your delight. It could be a child. It could be a parent. It could be a lover. Okay? That person could be taken from you as well. Could be robbed from you. Okay? Death is a thief, and death has stolen from some of you. And how very tragic when a person has invested all of his cares, hopes, and energies into this one dearest treasure and has no other treasure. How forlorn that person is when that treasure is robbed from them, when the thief breaks through and steals. Okay? Even if you could hang on to all of your favorite pleasures and people until the last day of your life, the fact remains there is a last day of your life. Your enjoyment of all good things is limited no matter how you slice it. Okay? Either it's gone or you're gone. Now, everyone knows this. And yet, like robots, like mindless programmed machinery, we continue to go after it and go after it. Treasures on earth, treasures on earth, treasures on earth. They make me happy. They keep me diverted. They make life worth living. It's all going to burn. It's all going to fade away. It's all going to be forgotten. Everything that is of the world. Okay, so here's this word, worldly. Okay, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life. Okay, all of the things that worldly men and women yearn for and delight in and boast about is fading away. Okay, so that's what we mean really when we say worldly. You know, it's a way to answer the question, what is worldly? Is it something that's going to eventually disappear or rot or be taken away? Okay, or is it something that will last far beyond these few short decades that we have, if we are blessed enough to have them? Can it last on into eternity for ages upon ages? Okay, the apostle says the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. Okay, friends, Christians, you know this to be true, but you still make the choices to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures in heaven are not subject to the curses and the limitations and the perils of treasures on earth, are they? Okay, treasures in heaven last forever. Peter calls them incorruptible. Okay, incorruptible means it doesn't rust, it doesn't rot, it doesn't get polluted. Okay, incorruptible, undefiled, and never fades away. It never wears out, never gets boring, because God himself is life. God is the source. Life wells up from within him. He's always new, he's always vibrant, always vital. Jesus says, set your heart, because that's the important thing, isn't it? Set your heart on that reward. You have to always live with that day of the great crisis, the great judgment, in your mind when you're going to stand before the Son of God, receive according to your choices and according to your heart. Okay, it's he who searches the heart and mind, right? Jesus says, lay up for that day. Okay, so what's lay up mean? Lay up is a word that has to do with the future. Okay? Store up. Jesus isn't telling you that you can't own anything, that you can't enjoy anything. But we all have the future on our minds in one way or another. That could be next month's bills. That could be the kids' college. That could be the kids' inheritance. It could be the future of the company. It could be the future of the country. Okay, we're always worrying about things that will not last beyond the last day. Okay, I want to get beyond the last day. Okay, Jesus says you labor for the food that perishes. What about the bread that endures to everlasting life, which my Father can give you, and I will raise you up on the last day? Okay, I want to get past the last day. I want to get into the next world. I want the eternal inheritance. Because if I live to be 80 or 90, that is the blink of an eye. It's the blink of an eye. So what am I doing to prepare for the day after the last day. What am I setting aside for that day? What am I storing up for it? What am I investing in? Okay, when I get out of bed tomorrow morning, what am I going to do to invest in my eternity? Okay, what choices will I make regarding how to act, how to think, how to plan? Okay, because those things are choices. Okay, how will those choices, you know, I choose my outlook on life, how do those choices affect how I speak to my wife and my children? How do those choices affect the kinds of things I write a check for? How do those choices affect how I'm going to spend the evening after dinner? Okay? Help me out with this treasures in heaven. How do you store up a treasure in heaven? What is a treasure in heaven? Let's think of it like this. If treasures on earth are the things that man considers to be worthwhile and valuable, treasures in heaven must be the things that God considers valuable and that he prizes, right? Why do you invest in a stock or anything else like that? Well, because in the future, that thing hopefully will have some value. So what thing does God see as priceless? What should I invest in? Well, God prizes souls. Amen. Okay, and you can tell because of the price he paid for them. He sent his son into the world to shed his blood for souls. So invest in souls. That'd be a wise investment. You can do that in lots of ways. You can do it with missions money. You can do it by going on a mission trip. You can do that with your attendance here because we have a room full of souls. You can strike up new friendships. You can reach out to the downcast. You can mentor somebody who's younger than you and share your life experience and your wisdom with them. You can raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can study the Word of God and become a leader, become a servant, become a godly example. You can lay up treasures for yourself in heaven by investing in souls. God also prizes meekness and humility, gentleness and long-suffering. These are the things that God prizes. 1 Peter 3 says, a meek and gentle spirit is of great value in God's sight. Okay, it's a meek and gentle spirit is a treasure in heaven. And that's why Peter says in that chapter what he says to ladies about their beauty. Because you can tell what's important to a lady by what she invests in. Is she investing in jewels and fancy clothes and, you know, fancy hair and $50 nails? Or is she investing in her character? Okay, is she selfless? Is she compassionate? Is she faithful? Is she submissive? Does she adorn herself with good deeds more than with sparkles and highlights? Okay, a gentle and quiet spirit, valuable to God, both in men and women. Okay, it's of great value. Invest in your own character. Mm-hmm. Invest in the character of your children. Invest in the character of your church mates. Because blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Okay, God himself is their very great reward. Scripture says, as chosen ones of God, holy and beloved, put on, okay, invest in this, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with each other, forgiving each other if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do, and above all this, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Do this, and you will have treasures in heaven. Thirdly, God also loves cheerful givers. Okay? You can lay up treasures in heaven for yourself by giving away the treasures on earth. John the Baptist put that in very simple terms. He who has two tunics, let him share with him who has none. Okay? Does that sound like John the Baptist is only talking to the millionaires? Okay, no. He's preaching to the crowds, bear good fruit, right? Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. Okay, and so the crowds ask him this very important question, which you constantly have to be asking, then what must we do? And so he said, well, here's what you do. He's not talking to the millionaires. He's talking to people who have two tunics. Let him share with him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. Okay? Anybody here own two coats? Okay, so you can store up treasures for yourself in heaven by giving away treasures on earth. Okay? The tax collectors asked John the Baptist, what should we do? And he told them, don't collect any more than what's appointed for you. Okay, so righteousness and repentance has something to do with the love of money, doesn't it? And the soldier said to him, what should we do? And so he said, don't shake down people for money. Don't accuse them falsely. Be content with your pay. Okay, where is your heart, Mr. Soldier? Where is your heart, Mr. Tax Collector? Okay, these are commands for ordinary people. And it's a good way to show that treasures on earth are not what's important to you by giving some of them away. Okay, to share, to be content. 1 Timothy 6, this is Paul, 1 Timothy 6, teaching Timothy what to teach to those in his church. 1 Timothy 6, 17, he says, instruct those who are rich in this age not to be conceited, okay, not to be haughty, proud of themselves because they're rich, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Why? Why are they uncertain? Well, because moth and rust and thief destroy them. They disappear. They sprout wings and fly away, the proverb says. Okay? Don't trust in uncertain riches. Trust in the certain living God, who's the one who gives us everything richly to enjoy. So again, it's not like you're not allowed to have anything. You just have to realize who it all comes from and live for him and not for it. Okay, you want the source, you want the fountain of good things, not so much the things. So what shall they do? Paul says, let them do good deeds, let them be rich in good works. It's a different kind of riches, right? Let them be ready to give, willing to share, laying up for themselves, the same verb, okay, looking forward to the reward, laying up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, so that they may lay hold on eternal life, which is life indeed. Do some self-evaluation, my friends, about your treasures. We all have earthly treasures, okay? Are they things that are going to last beyond the last day, or are they not? Okay, earthly treasures are uncertain, Paul says. They're corruptible. They're defiled. They're fading away. Moth and rust destroy them. Thieves can break in and carry them off. You know it's true. You know it's true. How very tragic, then, to know that it's true and still to find yourself on the last day left with nothing. Nothing but ashes and sawdust. Okay? You have lived your life unmindful of the things that are valuable to God the Father, things that are highly prized by him, and you have lived to please yourself. Okay, in the end, when God is all in all, he's the Alpha and the Omega, right? When he's all in all, and you have, if you don't have him, you have nothing. You have less than nothing. It doesn't have to be that way. Lay up treasures in heaven, and you will have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming quickly. His reward is with him. He will give to each person according to his works. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words that are so sharp and penetrating. They hit us where we live. They sink deep down into us. And we confess, Lord Jesus, that indeed we have loved the things of this world more than the things of the next. You know, Lord, that it's so very easy for us to be of two minds, and we pray, Lord, that you would make us single-minded, that although you are the maker of many good things, Lord, and we thank you for lots of good things that we do enjoy, and we pray, Lord God, that you would open our eyes and our hearts to see that it's you who is the best thing of all, the giver of all good things, the inventor of good things, the promiser of good things. May we live for you alone, Lord God, and may we do everything that is pleasing in your sight. Help us, Father, to prize the things that you prize, and so to be found worthy of the kingdom on that great day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.